willing to pay the price.
Purchasing our freedom with the utmost sacrifice. Greater love has no one. Greater love has no
Lamentations. Book of Lamentations come right after the prophet Jeremiah, which is Jeremiah's lamentations over what has happened to him and to the land of Judah. So Lamentations, you'll be finding that, chapter 3, verses 121 through 33. There was a woman who was cleaning up her house. She was running the vacuum, and after she got through, she noticed she didn't hear little Fifi, which is her parakeet. Little Fifi usually sings and sings, especially when there's noise going on, like a vacuum cleaner, and sing louder when it was over. But she didn't hear Fifi. And she wondered why Fifi wasn't singing. So she went to the cage, and she remembered that she cleaned the cage that morning. And she noticed also that she left the door open. And she looked all over the house, little Fifi, calling little Fifi. Couldn't hear anything, not one little beep. And she wondered what in the world could happen to Fifi. No doors open, no windows open. Had to be in the house somewhere, she said. She looked under the bed, she looked everywhere. Every closet door that was open, she looked in the closet. She couldn't find Fifi nowhere. And then the thought hit her. You don't reckon I did that? You don't reckon I vacuumed little Fifi up in the vacuum cleaner? She said, I can't find him nowhere else. So she pulled out the vacuum cleaner bag and went through all that dust and stuff she had gotten in there. She looked in there and just saw something moving. And she reached down and got it out, and there was little Fifi, all covered with dust. Alive, barely but alive. She took little Fifi out and brushed him off. And then she proceeded to give it a bath and blow dry it with a hair dryer and put Fifi back in the cage. But there's something different about Fifi this time. Fifi wasn't singing. She talked to Fifi. Fifi wouldn't sing. She did everything she normally did to help Fifi to sing, but Fifi never did sing no more. Her feathers had been ruffled. Didn't sing. You know, sometimes we get to that point like little Fifi. We don't feel like singing anymore. In fact, we don't feel like living anymore sometimes. Sometimes we feel like that life is too much for us. We're going through too many difficult times. And so we don't really feel like we have anything to sing about or to be cheerful about. And so we live with that and it's miserable. Can you imagine Fifi having gone through with that? We're like that. Lamentation. Notice what Jeremiah the prophet writes. Verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is our faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke of his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust. If so be, there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. Now if you go back and read the verses in that chapter followed up, this follows, leading up to that, you will find that Jeremiah is writing and complaining about his situation. He is talking about how he feels. He is talking about how he feels that God has abandoned him. And he sees his beloved country that he'd been preaching to the people about the coming judgment. He saw that line in ruins. He saw his people being carted off to Babylon for captivity. And he saw the gates of the city torn down. He saw the temple destroyed. He saw misery. He saw people suffering. And then he looks at himself and he says, I'm in the same boat. I'm suffering too. I'm having a difficult time. I don't feel like the Lord is near. I don't feel his presence at all. I don't see it. And so he's down, way down, like Fifi. He's not singing anymore. And so he's having a difficult time with life, just like we do. We have our times. We have our down times. We know what it is to live on the downside of life. None of us escape that. We know what it's about. And you would think that when you read from the Bible, you would find characters that have it all together, that they wouldn't have those kinds of problems. But the Lord revealed these things to us so that we could understand that all people do. We're not in the boat alone. You know, sometimes we look at people and we say, boy, they don't seem to have a problem in the world. Everything seems to go smooth for them. I just wish it was like that with me. But I have all kind of problems, all kind of trouble, and they don't seem to have any. But if you go and ask them and talk to them and get them to open up, they will tell you that they do have problems. And sometimes their problems are greater than we ever thought they had. But they do. And so this great man of God, God's mouthpiece, God's messenger to the people of Judah about the coming judgment, which did come, was speaking for God, and now he says, I wonder where God is for me. I'm having a difficult time. No, those people are, but I am too. I'm having a difficult time. And so as he's going on and on about how bad it is for him, it seems that Jeremiah might have been a sports person. Because as if abruptly here, he says, time out. Time out, Jeremiah. What do you mean? What you saying? Isn't that what coaches do when their team is out on the floor and things not going right? The players are not playing like he told them to, and they're getting beat by the other team. He says, time out. Something's not right here. Fellas, we need to make some changes. Something's going wrong. So to take time out to talk it over. You know, sometimes we need to just take time out on our own lives and look and see. And when Jeremiah did that, he began to remember. And he says in verse 21, he said, this I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. He said, I remember how good God has been to me. And he had been good to it. You see, Jeremiah wasn't liked in his country because he preached the judgment was coming. So they didn't like him. And so they at one time they put him in a miry pit of clay, just where he bogged around, couldn't move around that well, and left him in there a long time. But he was delivered from that. And other time they didn't like him. He was arrested. But he looks back and he says, well, you know, God has been good to me in the past. He's been good to me. And whenever we look back on our lives and just think how good God has been, and then that would help us to not think so things are so bad now that God can't help me now. The same God that helped me in the past is the same God that's alive today and will help me today. And so Jeremiah said, I remember how good God has been. Now, folks, if we'll just think about it, if we'll just look back over our lives and see some things that God has brought us through that we didn't think we were going to ever get through it, we looked upon those things ahead of us with dread, and then we came through with the help of God. God has done so much for us, and we need to take time out to think about it and to thank him for it. And so Jeremiah says, I remember now what God has done for me. And I think Jeremiah, well, felt ashamed of himself for talking to God about how he felt abandoned by God and forsaken by God. But now he knows that he hasn't. And notice he says that it is because of the mercies of God. It is because of the mercies of God that he's still here. He said it's because of the mercies of God that he has not been consumed. We're alive today because of the mercies of God, because of what he's done for us and still is doing. He's still giving us life. We are here today. We're not consumed. Sometimes we feel like we're going to be. Sometimes we feel like we can't take anymore. Sometimes we feel like the rivers of troubles are just going to wash me away. It's kind of like, you know, the Moses and the burning bush. Now, Moses saw that bush, and it was on fire, but it wasn't consumed. It was still burning. It wasn't consumed. Sometimes we are burning with troubles, problems. And we notice something, we're not consumed. We're still alive. And God is still with us, though we may not sense that. And that's where faith comes in. So it's by the mercies of God that we are where we are. And Jeremiah realizes that. It's by the mercies of God that he's where he is. He's alive. And he's not consumed. Now notice what he says. The mercy, he's full of compassion. Verse 22, his compassions fail not. God is always compassionate, though we don't feel it. And then he says, they are new, his mercies are new every morning. Every morning, they're new. You know, sometimes we try to live on yesterday's mercies. We try to live on yesterday's graces. And we get all built up over what has happened so wonderful and so good. And we think that's going to carry over into the days ahead. But yesterday's mercies and yesterday's graces were sufficient for yesterday. But now that's old. Today's mercies are new. They're new every morning. Now if we think about that, whenever we wake up in the morning, we find a God issuing out to us new mercies for every day, new graces for every day's living. Regardless of what's happened in the past, his mercies are new for today. You remember two or three Sundays ago, we talked about Jesus and worrying, you know, about what the cure for worry. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be added unto you. And then he says, you have enough trouble for today. You don't need to reach over in tomorrow and bring those into today and convolute them. You don't need to do that. You have enough to deal with today. You shouldn't reach over into tomorrow. What you think about won't happen tomorrow. Oh, we get so tied up and so concerned and so worried over what's going to happen tomorrow. And Jesus said, don't do that. He says, you got enough problems for today. You don't need to add more. But we do, don't we? We reach over into tomorrow and bring them over and add them to what's already going on today. And Jesus says, tomorrow's problems will be met with new mercies and new grace. Jesus said in John, to the woman at the well, he said, the water I give you will keep springing up into everlasting life. So his mercies keep going. I know you probably know where a number of them are, but I know where one artesian well is. It's down there near Bishopville. And someone has made a little park thing there, picnic table, and then there's a pipe 3 or 4 inch pipe put in that well. And it's elbowed out and it continues to pour. Fresh water all the time coming out of that well. Whenever we were living in Saluda, we went down that way, down 20, and went got off the Bishop exit, and we go by that well. We carried containers and filled them up with that cool, fresh water. And it flows, and it flows. It never stops. It flows, and it flows day and night. We're not there. Nobody's there. It flows. It flows. Never stop. That's the way God's mercy and grace, it never stops. I can say, we don't always sense that. We don't always feel that. And we may think, like Jeremiah, that God is against us, that God is not doing anything for us. But God's mercies are new every morning. And then Jeremiah says, great is our faithfulness. Your mercies are new every morning, and great is our faithfulness. You know, we have a hymn that we sing by that title. Great is our faithfulness. That means that God is faithful. That means that God will do all he says he would do. Now, listen, if God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, can we believe that? Can we trust God to stick to that promise? Can we trust God to do that? Well, he's faithful. And he will do it because he said he would. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Can we believe that? You better believe. We can believe it because he's faithful. If God says, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in the atoning work of his on the cross, and you will have eternal life, you'll be saved forever. Can you believe that? Can I believe that? Can we believe it? We sure can because God is faithful. We say, well, I don't know. I'm not sure about that. Well, God's faithful. And if he said something, he will do it. And Jeremiah seems to be carried away with that. He realized his weakness. But he says God is faithful. And if God says something, it is true. If he promises us anything, he's going to bring it about. And if God says, when you die, you're going to live with me forever, you're going to heaven, if he says that, can we believe it? You better believe it. It is true. God said it. And God is true to his word. Great is our faithfulness. Jeremiah's seeing a lot about God he hadn't looked at. He had to take time out to look it over in his life. And then Jeremiah talks about patience. Oh, isn't that something that we have problems with? You know, we live in a quick fix society. We want it fixed now. We're very impatient. It's got to where now, if you get out on the road and you drive like we senior citizens do, people are ready to run all over you. You know, they'll come up behind you and you pull out to see if, and it makes no difference. If the double yellow lines are, that don't mean anything anymore. And that speed limits, I don't mean anything anymore. If I can find a place to pass, and if I think I can make it, zoom, here I go. and they fly on by. Impatient. That's what's causing a lot of road rage today, impatience. I'm not going to stay back here behind that slow poke. I'm getting on with it. And Jeremiah says, it's good to have patience. Quietly wait on the Lord. That's what it is with troubles in life. When it going to be over? When is God going to do something? When is he going to help me? That we don't know. But we know he's faithful. We know his mercy is new every morning. And we know that he will not abandon us. So he's still around, though we may not sense that. He's still around. It's hard to wait, isn't it? Hard to wait on the Lord. We were down at the beach some years ago. And I met a pastor that I'd known from years back. And we were out on the pier fishing. Now, spring made pier. And he asked me, said, do you have any churches in your association that without pastors? And I happened to think of one. I said, yeah, I know one. He says, well, I tell you what. He said, I need to move, and I need to move bad. He said, would you, if I send you a resume, would you get it to the committee? I said, yeah, I'll do that. Now, I don't recommend. I'm very reluctant to recommend a pastor. I did that once. It didn't work out. Now, I'm very reluctant to recommend. So I took his resume and gave it to a member of the committee, and I said, you all do with it whatever you will. It's up to you, between you and the Lord, what you do with it. And about 2 days later, this fella called. He said, did you give my resume to that committee? I said, yeah. He said, what'd they say? I didn't say nothing. I just gave it to him and told him to do whatever the Lord wanted to do with it. You just pray about it and let the Lord guide you in what to do. And I said, that's what I told him, and that's where I left. And what he said was right comical, but he said, well, listen, he says, you know how the Lord is. The Lord don't work quick enough. I'm impatient now. I got out somewhere to go, and I can't wait on the Lord. I got to go. And you know, we're that way, aren't we? Lord, where are you? Why don't you do something? I just do it myself. That's what Sarah did. Abraham wasn't. She was impatient about her and Abraham having a son. Lord, I'm going to solve this matter myself, take care of it myself. She didn't wait on the Lord. It's hard to wait on the Lord. But remember his mercies are new every morning, and he's faithful. Let him work in his own time and way. And Jeremiah comes to the conclusion that he says, God does not enjoy seeing us suffer. He's not pleased with that. He doesn't enjoy it. But he's letting it happen for a reason. It may be to strengthen our faith. It may be just to get us closer to him. We don't know why he's allowed it to go on. But he hadn't left us. And he's not going to. Oh, he is faithful. For though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. It's not that he wants to. But you know, it's like parents chastening their children. God chastens his, but in his own way. And in his own way and time, he will see us through. Great is our faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. You may be here this morning. You don't know this God. You can know him through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. That's a promise God made to us. If you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved, and you can know this God that we've been talking about. Know the God that Jeremiah knew. And we pray this morning that if you don't know him, you will come and give your heart and life to Jesus this morning. You may feel the need of rededicating your life to God. Any way the Lord is leading you to make a decision, you come. As we sing our hymn, 502, you come.